G'day everyone, welcome to the show, and today's guest is Shannon Leuschner. How you going, Shannon?
I am doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, thank you for coming on. Now, you're a psychic, but that's, I guess, just a speck of what you do when it goes into the broad range of things, because everyone's psychic, whether they know it or not. I believe we've all got this intuition, but you seem to be very in tune with it, and I guess that's something that everyone's got, but it depends if they recognize that sort of thing within their own reality. But do you want to tell everyone just a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing with all this work?
Yes, I guess I could say I'm psychic, but there's such a stigmatism or a stigma with being psychic. Everybody goes, "Oh, she's psychic." But I kind of consider myself more of a spiritual counselor. Everybody, like you said, has intuition. So everybody is technically psychic if they pay attention to their intuition. The only difference between me and though everyone else who has intuition is I pay attention to it on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, and I have really developed my skills. But my biggest thing is that I want to help people find their happiness. And that is my joy in life, is when I can take someone who is awakening, because we're going through the awakening process, but who is awakening and so lost that they need help. And if I can help them find their path and find their happiness, to me, that is the best thing ever. But what I do essentially is, yes, I do spiritual counseling, I do the psychic stuff. I'm a theta healer, and I'm also a certified theta teacher, instructor, so I can certify people. I do angelic communication. I do spirit communication. I do angel healings. I do a whole lot of things. I do life path coaching, but it's all tools in my toolbox to help people find their happiness. And when I do mediumship, it's for closure. So people can let go of all of the hurts and pains of their past so that they can move forward with a clean new start in the future.
Yeah, so it's basically getting people to empower themselves and get rid of like the past life baggage or anything that's holding them back, that's sort of their barrier from moving forward.
Absolutely, yes. You have to let go of all of that, what's happened in this life and in the past lives.
I do similar sort of work, but it's amazing the people go, so how many beings all this and that have you interacted with? And they don't understand the broad spectrum. Like you're talking about the angelic side of things, plus we go into the multidimensional or ET aspect. And we've all got so much diversity in our guides and the beings we work with, and sometimes there are other facets of us. So there's this, like we're talking about before the show, we're continuing to learn and either
Yes.
reconnect or see so much of a broad spectrum of different beings that you can't really put a number on it, because the diverse and number of life out there is so vast. And is that something that you've come that it's just second nature seeing so much different stuff all the time in the other realms?
Well, like I've said, we continue to learn, and when we stop learning, we stop living.
Yeah.
But yes, I feel that people who limit themselves to only one specific type of being is they're actually limiting all of the help that they can get. And I think my biggest thing is people need to get rid of the fear. That's the biggest thing. Don't fear what you don't know anything about. Learn. This is what it's all about. And so I do. I work through the entire spectrum. I always stay in the light. I limit my interactions with any of the malevolent beings, and I only have interactions with those who are benevolent. So for me, anything I'm doing here is all about the light. It's all about helping. It's all about, promoting the awakening. And I kind of feel sometimes that the darker energies want to hinder that and not promote it. So I stay in the light side.
Yeah, I find that the darkness gets attracted to the light, which is why you just got to keep clearing, especially those doing a lot of this work, because they just want to put little roadblocks there. And not that it works, but if you're not aware or you're new to this, a lot of people don't understand that side of things. So it's good you brought that side of things up, because not everything is love and light out there, unfortunately, though everything's a different facet of the same consciousness.
I agree with you completely, and I feel like I'm cleaning myself every 5 minutes, and everyone around me, I'm constantly clearing them. But one thing that I learned from working with the angelic realm is that there is a balance in all things. You know about the yin and the yang, right? There's this circle, and half of it's dark and half of it's light. And there is a balance in all things, right? If we had only light, no one would appreciate it because that's all they would see. And if we had only darkness, everyone would suffer and no one would see the beauty of what light is. And so to have both of them, there must be a balance in all things. Now, I am not encouraging darkness in any way, shape, or form. Just what I'm saying is that, yes, we need to overcome it. But if we don't have adversity, we never know what success is. And so it's a learning lesson, like we say, you know, we're in this world to learn, and that's what we're doing here in this earth.
Definitely, definitely. And like I say to everyone, it's about having that balance, and that's how you can see balance within what we're talking about as well, within Source. There is that balance, that duality as well, where I think it gives us a barrier to break through to evolve. And I'm glad you brought up the fear aspect, because that's what holds us back from growing individually and as a collective, is fear. And it's really fear of the unknown and our preconceived notion of that. And sometimes you've just got to give away to it and have the best intentions, but don't try to control it. Because when we try to control, that's another aspect of what holds us back from evolving as well, is trying to control things. So what we could do now is go into some of the stuff that's going on now, I guess, on a global and universal conscious level. What do you see some of the things happening at the moment in terms of where things are going as a collective?
Well, I do feel that people are in the awakening process. There are some people who will actually absolutely refuse to awaken, and that's not something that, you know, we can force. You know, they have to. We have free will. We've been given free will for a reason, and that's only a learning lesson. To me, this is a big, you know, this is a big act. You know, we're learning, we're interacting, and we choose what role we want to play. So if some people will stay in victim mode, some people will stay in the dark energy because it's easier for them to stay with what they're comfortable with. Fear, although very, you know, adverse, is comfortable for some people. They're comfortable being put into a box. And I always say fear is one of those limiting aspects about ourselves that we put ourselves into a box so that we don't have to experience what's on the outside of that, because what's on the outside of that is unknown, and we're worried about that. But I always say, when you conquer your fear, everything else falls away, because you then gain control. And I posted one time on my Facebook that fear is an illusion. Control is an illusion. The more control we try to have, the least control we actually do have. So it becomes this vicious cycle. And so when we release control, that's actually when we are in the most control. I know it sounds weird, but it is very true. Control is an illusion. The only thing we have control of is our actions. Everything else is controlled by the universal energy. And so we just need to figure out how we fit into that. But like you said, you know, if people don't, you know, people hold on and they don't move outside of that box, they will always stay in that fear. And those will be the people that will awaken last.
And I think it's mainly men that are having problems with that, because there's that controlling aspect. And I'll be the first to put up, because you've got to deal with your crap. And since being with Solar now, having three awesome stepkids, I've learned to let go. I've still got to let go. But when you look at this, it's also that now new balance of the male and female energy. So for so long, men have been up here and women have been down here. Before it was like that. Originally, it was like this. But now that we're getting back to that balance of male and female energies, that's something definitely men are going to drop, is that controlling aspect, and just learn to let go, because there's so much, I guess, friction there. And even those that are not aware, they don't know what's going on. So they're wondering why they're fighting, or all these adjustments going on. And this is why. What's your experience with the male and female energies starting to come together? Are you seeing this sort of thing go on as well?
I'm actually seeing it a lot, and yeah. I've seen it over the past probably 10 years. Things have really begun to shift, and you know, I have a master's degree in public administration, and I've looked at the dynamics of how before in the higher education, men were predominant, but if you look at higher education now, women are actually starting to be more predominant than men. And so there is a balancing out of what's happening. And I don't, and I'm not saying that there men are more intelligent than men, because that's not the case. But now there is a balancing act, like you were saying. And I say those who control are the most out of control.
Yeah.
And so when you just let it go and you allow the partnership between the man and the woman to happen, and you realize there is no control, it's about partnership, it's about giving, it's about maintaining a balance, then you're going to have more peace in a relationship, but you'll also have more peace out in society. I wish more and more people would understand that.
With the work that you do you think it's two-sided in terms of the relationship people have outside of themselves with people, and then their personal relationship with themselves, which they both need that work? It's like a lot of times they're going outside of themselves for help, but they can go within, but then they might, if they're doing that, they're not looking at their relationship with other people or their partner.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's a learning lesson for everybody. So every interaction with a partner, you're learning, right? And so I've noticed with my clients, I have probably equal male and female clients, but I do notice that those who have relationship issues have issues with themselves. They have issues from their past. They are repeating patterns of their parents, or they're repeating patterns of what they've been shown from childhood. I teach a soulmate class, and everyone wants to go because they want to attract their soulmate. But when they get to the class, the first half of the class is dealing with us. What have we learned over our childhood? What have we learned by society? And what do we tell ourselves every day? And then, what energy are we giving out? Everybody says, oh, I want this type of person. I want this person to come into my life. But what do we actually have to give? What are we offering? You know, we can always look at someone else's attributes, but what are our attributes? Mm-hmm. And how do we better ourselves in those things?
Well, it's like the old saying, if you can't give the best of yourself to you, you know, you can't give it to anyone else. And that's actually really true. And sometimes you've got to be selfish to go stuff everyone for a little bit. I've got to work on me, so in order to be better for everyone else. And it's just doing that work, I think.
Absolutely. And I think we're always a work in progress. We're always healing. We're always working. And even those who, you know, like me, even me, you know, I'm learning about myself, you know, and I'm learning every day about myself, and I'm learning about relationships. And everything that I learn, I use to help other people as well. And so, you know, I'm constantly, you know, going through it as well, just like everybody else. But it's how I handle it. And I take my own advice. I, you know, I'm never doing the hypocrite thing where I tell people, oh, you should do this, and I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
No. If I say, work on yourself, that's exactly what I've been doing for the past, I don't know how many ever years. So we're always, like we said, a work in progress. And if we can learn to compromise, learn to communicate, and learn to understand that there is a partnership between people instead of a rivalry, we'll have more peace in relationships and in society.
Well, it's part of the self-mastery aspect, isn't it? You know, people think these dudes are meditating, and yes, they are, but it's like some of the monks. They're monks, and they're meditating, doing their thing. But then the real self-mastery takes it from that, going into a social society, you know, doing it socially and carrying those experiences and knowledge and tools and trait into the public eye and doing it within society, because it's, you know, again, you've got to practice what you preach. And when you talk to a lot of these people like yourself and James and people, a lot of people that I know, the work that they're doing, not only are they constantly clearing, but they're constantly working on mastery of the mind. And
yes.
Because they're dealing with a lot of people, they've got to do it a lot more than others because of the interaction. So whether it's clearing or people's past life stuff or what are we trying to help them out with, it's a constant sort of battle, but it's part of the human experience too.
And it's part of our path. It's part of who we are, you know, and I think everybody should do that. But, you know, I was thinking about that when you were talking was, our biggest issue, and I think I mentioned this with on James's show one time, our biggest issue in society, in relationships, and everything is ego. You know, we are an ego-driven society. Everything is about how we feel, what we need, what we want, what we, and we don't think about the collective. And so the biggest encouragement, and I'm working on this as well, because it is a daily struggle, because we are in a society of ego-based, is people need to let go of their ego and they need to look at the bigger picture, and they need to say not about what we want, what I want, but what do we need as a collective, you know? And I think if people did that, that it would shift, you know, society in the way that it is, and it would actually make us more like monks. You know, the monks don't have ego. They have lack of ego, which is actually a great thing. And I've argued with many, many people who say, well, we need ego. And I said, okay, what do you need it for? You know, what is it doing? And that includes all the lower level emotions like anger and resentment. Who in their life needs anger and resentment? Nobody. I mean, we learn, yes, it's a learning lesson, but we don't need those lower level emotions. We choose to have them because society has taught us that that's how we are to react.
This is a really good point. And in saying that, where do you think that, like, the ego for humanity with the human experience comes from? Because when we look at the spiritual side or our light body side, whatever people want to call it, in the multidimensional facet of ourselves, there seems not to be that, or on the higher levels up to source, there doesn't seem to be that. But it's almost like as if that's another duality of the human experience. But how do you think its ego came to be here? Do you think it's installed in the body computer, or was it put here, or what's your idea on that?
You know, I kind of feel like it developed over time, but it was taught. Because if you look at, you know, and we're just going to say a biblical thing that may or may not have even happened. But if you look at Adam and Eve, there was no ego. Yeah. You know, it was not even a survival, but it was a coexistence. It was a happy coexistence. But as we move on in society, you do start noticing, like with the kings, you know, when there were kings and pharaohs and all of this, it was all about ego. It's like, look at me, look at all that I have, look at all that I am able to do. And, you know, it was about control. And society progressed, more and more control needed to be put in place, which created the ego of those who have, or is it the have and the have nots, right?
Yeah.
So if you have, you're important, you're an awesome person. But if you don't have, you're worthless, and you have nothing to offer. But we're moving out of that. And that's the great thing. That's a part of the awakening. We are moving out of ego and into a collective, a universal energy, which is not about the have-nots, because I will say some of the poorest people I've ever met are some of the most insightful and light-filled, love-filled people I have ever seen in my life. And some of the richest people also have light, but some don't. And yeah. So it's a balance between two. Also poor people, there are dark and poor people as well, but it's not about what you have. It's about what you have inside, not surrounding you.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people look at the external side of things, and with the ego things and that, like, it's good points you brought up, and I sort of see it like a mixed bag of almost like the reptilian archonic type thing. If we look at the structure going from like Sumer to the Roman Empire and then out, and we see these hierarchical structures put there, and then they're placed within workplaces, within schools, our education system, media. It's all this put there, but to break all that, it's about going within and doing something from there. And I think it's something that people need to realize, that it's not just an individual thing. Before we go to a collective, which we're starting to, because a lot of people are doing this, which is working on themselves. So enough people work on themselves, that paves the way for us to do it as a collective. So I think there's going to be, there's going to be big changes, and people have sort of got to get with it, or just do their own thing, because they're just going to drop off. They can't handle that vibration.
Absolutely. And if you look in the spiritual realm, if people really take a look at the spiritual realm, there isn't a hierarchy. There isn't one over the other. It is all inclusive. It is all encompassing. There isn't one better than the other. But here on this earth, we have chosen to have this hierarchy. And I do feel it's part of our learning lesson, but it is, how do we get past it? And I agree with you, you know, as we continue to work on ourselves, the field starts to level out a little bit. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping it happens in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's going to happen that quick that I don't think we've got even an idea of how it's going to happen. It's going to be like a light switch has gone bang, and before we know it, we're going to be like, what's this, you know? But there's, you know, processing to go with that, you know? It's like to do healing, especially on a collective level, there's going to be processing of that. There's always the purging stage. So it's going to be interesting, but What we'll do is just backtrack a little bit. How did your experiences or your realization of your how in tune you are with intuition and that start? Like with you said you work with the angelic realm and a lot of these other beings. How did you know what was going on or understand what was going on?
Well, I mean, it started in childhood. I was born this way. I was born with abilities, and we all are. You know, we all are born with abilities. But I was brought up in a family of psychics and mediums, and my grandfather was a psychic medium, and he worked dowsing for oil. And he was, to me, he was the one of the most gifted psychics I've ever met in my life. And my great grandmother was a world-renowned psychic. My mom, and so down the generations. It's always been our intuitive abilities have been very strong. Even my children, they blow me away. Like they're even more, they have more abilities than I do. And so that's how it started. But I grew up in a home that was like Amityville Horror. So there was a lot of really scary things going on. And I was 5 years old, 6 years old, dealing with seeing demons and seeing a man, my stepfather, go completely crazy and try and kill me, and just because of these dark energies. And so I grew up with fear. After I can say I literally survived my childhood, right? And so I grew up in fear of this. And I one day I decided no more fear. I have got to stop being scared of what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling, and really embrace it. And this happened at the age of 33. I was diagnosed with a serious heart condition and given a year to live. And I decided, well, if I only have a year, I'm going to touch as many people's lives as I can until I die. And when I did that, miraculously, my heart condition healed and I started getting better. And that was 8 years ago, and I'm still here. Yeah, I know I just dated myself and gave myself, my age away, but that's okay. But I'm still here, and I'm still helping people, and I will do that until my very last breath. I know that that's my path here, and when I just chose this path to, really help as many people, I did a lot of soul searching. I really had to figure out who am I, because I needed to know. I needed to know what my spirit was, what my path here was, and why am I doing all of this? And I took a lot of different paths to do that. But once I became secure in who I am, everything unfolded. Everything unfolded. And my communication and my relationship with the angelic realm solidified, and it was already there, but it activated and solidified. And I communicate with them on a daily basis. And everything I know and I've learned is not book read. They've taught me. And so I'm so very fortunate to be with them. And then also on the other side of the Palladians, they have helped me so very much, and showing me both sides and showing me that we're all a collective. We're not separate, and so that's how it started. I know that was a long answer to a short
No,
question,
no. Some people go for
but
20 minutes sometimes, and it is. You're trying to condense such a big story into, a few minutes. So I totally get that. Have you, with the angelic type realms, I've experienced different, I guess, I don't know, variations or vibrations, and I see them more in the light spectrum in terms of these different densities of color, and then the golden plane as well. But have you ever come across any of them in geometric form or the geometric light realms?
I've come across them in many, many different forms, in many different places. But I've actually seen one physically, which was really neat. I was coming, and I don't know if this is answering your question, but I was coming home from doing ghost hunting, which is what I started with, and that was, to me, to now it just seems so out of my realm. But anyway, as I was coming down, I looked down the hallway, and there was this huge light in the hallway. And the warmth and the love that I felt from this light was something that I cannot explain. And I heard, "For I am Michael," and whew, it just went straight up. And I'm getting chills just
I'm
thinking
getting
about it. But
blasted right now as
yeah.
well, yeah.
And that was my very first actually seeing an angel, like just in light. It wasn't
What
even
color was
from
it?
a, it was like a golden yellow light.
Yeah.
It was. I can't even like put into words the feeling that I had.
Yeah.
But I did have, I was my brain just went dead, but I was counseling some people and I was saying, you need to call on Michael. And then the lady asked me, she said, what about Gabriel? And I said, well, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about Gabriel. I said, but I, you know, I feel that Michael's probably one of the more powerful of the angels. I should not have said that, because that night I had a dream. And in the dream, there was this big, huge, tall guy, extremely good looking, dark curly hair, walks up, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a really good dream, right? Because I'm thinking, nice looking guy. So anyway, so he walks up and he said, so I'm not as powerful as Michael, huh? And I kind of froze for a minute and I was like, where's this coming from? And I knew right then it was Gabriel. And he puts his hand on my head and he reminds me of who I am. And then he shows me all the stuff that all the angels are doing, not just Michael. And it really gave me a very deep appreciation. And now I don't say one is more powerful than the other, because I'm not looking for visitation in that sense.
In that sense.
Yeah.
And this is where it will work to the person having the experience, doesn't it? Whether it's dreams or in person. I've had both. A lot of physical stuff too, as well, with filming a lot of crafts. But what you were describing, I've seen the lights pop in and they're beings called the Elohim. I've seen them from white light to a liquid blue light to rainbow colored, and very similar, like a liquid light, I call it liquid living light. And it's just interesting to hear people's stories like yourself, because it's all these commonalities with them, but also that they'll appear and work with the person that best suits them. Because a lot of people I find go, I want to have the physical experience. It's not to say they can't handle it, but where they're at, maybe they can't handle it at that time. So they work with them in other ways, so they can still be productive, or else, you know, a lot of people get obsessed with this, which I can understand, but it works how it's got to. What's your...
Before you move, I'm sorry, just before you move on, I got a message, so I need to say it. One of the things that I just heard they want to add in, they said that they aren't just one color, that they are many spectrums of light, because they have to interact with all of the realms and all of the people, and they want everybody to know that they do incarnate and they are here and they are shifting. But what I'm getting from them right now is to say, we are all colors. We aren't just one color, because we are helping and affecting and blending with all of the other spectrum.
Well, their message is, they got to work with all the realms, don't they? They've got to.
Yes.
And thank you
yes.
for that. And that actually makes sense with what I'm understanding, how I said about all the different vibrations of light. It's
yes.
That does make sense. So that's answered something for myself. It's that's funny. With this, but you're talking about the Pleiadians as well. What's been some of the messages or how your interactions have been with them? And do you know which type of Pleiadians these guys are, whether they're future, past, or whether what time they exist in, though time's an illusion? Do you know, or is it a variation? Because for myself, it's been a variations of different groups of Pleiadians as well.
Yes, I've seen a variation, but the funny thing is that before I even had any idea about extraterrestrial life, I'm friends with Jerry Yusko, and he would educate me on some of the races. And one day I said, you know, I really would like to have an interaction with a good one. And he's like, okay. And so I went to sleep, and that night I had a dream about a lady who was completely blonde but glowing. I mean, it was like a glowing light, and she was sitting on this chair, and next to her was a man with dark hair. And I was like, okay. And I didn't really know who they were, but I came closer to her, she said, you know who I am. And I am, and she gave me a name, and I couldn't remember the name. So I asked people, and they said that it was the Palladian leader. And she gave a very strong force of, I am the one who is in charge here. But it wasn't about ego. It was about, this is my capacity. I need to be strong so I can help everybody else. But when I woke up and I had asked Jerry about it, he said, oh yeah, that's the Palladian, the Palladian leader. And I described the guy that was next to her. And since then I've had probably six or seven with her, and I can telepathically tap in. So if I need an answer or I need something, I can tap in and get an answer with her. And she's shown me several different realms and several different time periods. And, you know, the crazy thing is that we are so linear here. Time is so linear here.
Yeah.
But in actuality, past, present, and future exist all at the same time. And so time doesn't matter to her or to us. Really, it doesn't matter to us. It matters to our bodies.
Yeah.
But it really, our spirits, past, present, future, all exist all at the same time.
And
I hope I answered the question.
No, that's fine. And I think it won't even matter to us in times once we start to come at things from that level of consciousness as a civilization, that time will be non-existent for us too. It's just getting back to there, isn't it?
Yes. I think, you know, we develop time here. And yes, it is a little more linear because our bodies are born, they age, and then they die. You know, so that is a linear thing. But our spirits surpass that, you know, and we are part of the collective, and the collective has no time. And so, I do feel we will get back to that, but we're so stuck on our calendars, and we're so stuck in our watches, and what time is it, and what time do we need to be places, that first we all need to shift in our ego and shift in our awakening. Once we do that, then we can move on to a different sort of plateau, no hierarchy.
Yeah. Has there been any information overall from the collective of beings that you work with on who the human race is and anything about us?
That's pretty interesting because there's if you go with the extraterrestrial realm, you get one story.
Yeah.
And then if you go with the angelic realm, you get another story. And so, but they all have the same theme. And the same theme is that we as spirits incarnate to come here to learn. And that's what we do. Now, our origin, it started with small, and this is where the extraterrestrial parts come in. There's the theory that there was a crossbreeding, you know, that the extraterrestrial race came down here, crossbreeded, and that's how we got our intelligence. That's the theory. I'm not exactly sure how that happened. I would say that that's probably pretty probable for that to happen with what I've seen and what I've experienced and had visions of. But I think the biggest thing is that we are all spirit, all of us, whether it be extraterrestrial, angel, any other type, we are all spirit. We all come from one place and we choose which planet, what universe, what dimension we want to incarnate in, wherever we can learn the lessons that we need to learn so that we can bring it back and add to the universal knowledge and add to the universal connection. And I think that's what's most important.
Yeah. With everything that we're talking about, I've been asked lately too, and it'd be cool if you can go into some of these, what's some self-help things people can do, whether it's tools or tips on clearing, connecting with the beings that they're working with. Have you got any sort of tips and tools you could tell people about how to help themselves with what's going on?
Yeah, you know, this is a side note, but I do teach people how to develop their intuition and how to actually open up to communication and all of that. But the biggest thing is that if you're holding on to past energy, resentments, regrets, feelings of rejection, old angers, old traumas, if you hold on to all of that, then what's happening is you're not allowing yourself to move forward. You're not allowing yourself to be light. So I always recommend that people let go or make a list of all of their traumas, all of their people that they're resentful for, and then make a conscious effort to release each and every one of those energies so that they can move forward cleaned and cleared. I have a CD. It's called Freedom from Trauma. And it actually goes through and it tells people how to let go of the resentments and regrets and all of the lower level energies. And then it brings them through and aligns them with their higher self. And so it allows for that to happen. But if you don't use my CD, it's not a big deal. All you have to do is really connect to the universal energy, make the intention to release the energy, and it will happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the biggest thing is letting go of that, because we can't move if we've got this cement brick on our ankles, you know, and those lower level emotions are what is holding us back.
Yeah.
And once we let go of those, you can open up, your intuition opens up, your frequency goes up, because that's the biggest thing. We need to raise our frequency in this world, and frequency is our vibration. And if our vibrations are low, we remain in lower level energies. But if we really take time to raise our frequencies and raise our vibrations, we can make huge changes in this world.
And the intent, when you've got the pure intent, that you're halfway there with that. Because a lot of people talk about, how do I do this and that? I want to do this. And it's like, we're already halfway there because you've got the intent to do it. But people are going to be open to,
yes,
if they still haven't dealt with their crap. So people go, I've dealt with my past life issues or this life issues. And it's like, all right, but give it a few weeks or a few days or whatever, because something else is going to crop up. And if you aren't open to that, it's stopping you from evolving. And I think people just need to take 5 minutes out, sit in nature, and just tell anything negative about, just to go away, call in the beings you work with, and
yes,
just with the intent, and take notice of your thoughts with after that. Because we're,
yes,
told to have a clear mind, and I don't think you can. I think we're meant to have mind chatter for whether it's our higher self, source, or the angelic realms, or the beings that we work with to come through, and I'll... Sometimes you'll perceive it as your own thoughts, but that's how they'll work with us, you know. Clearing the mind is good for rejuvenation, I think, but I don't think it's something, it's almost a trick you've got to play on yourself to get the information.
I feel that when you meditate, or when you're connecting to anything, any of the higher energies, to clear your mind is almost like telling them to shut up, you know. If you're trying to interact with them, you need to allow your thoughts to move, because they speak telepathically. Very seldom will you hear a voice, but you will get thoughts in your mind. Paying attention to those thoughts is how we communicate with them. And people will say, oh, well, that's just my imagination. But it isn't, because in the spirit realm, we speak telepathically. And it's been proven scientifically that our thoughts move faster than the speed of light. And it's like a lot faster. It's not even a little bit faster. It's like 1,000 times faster than the speed of light. And so to allow that communication is our nature. It's who we are.
And imagination is creation as well.
Yes, yes. I always say our thoughts, words, and actions shape our reality. And they are more real than what we perceive to be real in this world.
It's just like when I perceive the other realms a lot of the time, it's like HD, I call on crack, because it's so clear. And this is like an old 60s, 70s television screen. It's like so distorted and static that there's such a difference. And it's, again, how people perceive it with their intention and everything else as well. But that's how I've experienced things. It's just so clear with clarity. And you come back here and you're like, God, we're going to do some cleaning up here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of the angels that I've spoken to, they say that it's very hard to incarnate here, because once they get here, and once they're in a heavy human body, and they're bombarded with all of the heaviness of the world, right? And with being empathic, it just weighs them down, you know, and they do it because they need to raise the vibration of who's here. But it's very, very taxing on those high vibrational beings to incarnate here because of the heaviness that we're experiencing. And we're all hoping to shift that so that way it's not the case.
Yeah.
And when you come here, it's like a vacation instead of swimming in sludge.
Are you finding, or what's your take or information on, you hear about, for example, so many people, you'll have five people say that their Archangel Michael are incarnated. What's your take on that sort of thing? Are they multifacetedly dividing themselves up, or is some people full of crap? Like, what's your take on this?
Yes, actually, we, you know, angels and all of our spirits exist on several dimensions at the same time. So we do. It's almost like osmosis. You know, you take one cell and that cell can separate. It's still the same piece of the cell. It's just another piece.
Like a hologram.
So, yes,
yeah.
And because the angels need, they're so needed here, they do need to incarnate into several different bodies and spread themselves out so they can make the most impact. So I do believe that they incarnate in several, and I think Michael is probably one of the most ambitious in all of them. You know, I'm sure he incarnates the most, but there are, and I know I'm going to get visited for that, but you know, there are so many angels and you know, even the higher energy spirits, not even angels, but the higher vibration spirits that incarnate. But if they only did it in one body, how much impact would they do? But if they did 20, 30 bodies, 100 bodies, they're creating a wave of energy.
Yeah, I've got an exact same take on what you're saying. So it's just funny we haven't spoken before until today, and it's just so much validation for myself anyway. But we've got about 20 minutes around that left. Is there anything even the angels or any other beings want to say through at the moment just to the people? Or is there anything you're getting intuition-wise with what they'd like to share, or anything you want to go into?
Well, I mean, I definitely want to say I have not met you in person. This is our first meeting, and I do feel that our energies are connected on the other side. We do know each other on the other side, because I just feel very comfortable. Like, the energy feels very comfortable, very familiar. Like, you know, I'm sure we could sit here and talk for hours about all of the things that are going on. But I do get a message for you, and the message is that to continue moving forward, that although you're facing some adversities and there are some things that are trying to hold you down, don't allow that to hold you down. One of the things that Jerry and I were talking about at one time is, what makes a master? And how do masters differ from other people? And one of the qualities and one of the traits is no matter what is happening in your life or happening in the world, a master will continue to go on their path. They may get knocked down, they may get pushed down, they may get whatever is happening to them, but they will get back up and continue to move forward in their path and not allow anybody to distract them from that. So I feel that that's where you're moving, you know, and that's the encouragement that they're giving me to tell you is, you are working on something huge. You are working on something that really needs to be out there. And your work is vital. So don't allow the other energies to pull you down and to tell you you can't. If they tell you you can't, or you're facing huge adversity, it's because you're doing something so right and you are on such a big path that they're trying to stop you from doing it. And I always say, if you're trying to stop me, it must be because I'm on the right path and I'm doing something right. So I'm going to continue to move forward. So use it as motivation, and things will be a lot. I mean, it's never easy for those light workers, but it will be so rewarding when you can get it all together.
Yeah. Now, I see it similar too, that if there is all this crap going on, you're just going to push on, because obviously they wouldn't be doing it if you weren't going in the right direction. But I'm 32 now, going, geez, I don't want another 32 years of this crap, but keep pushing along. I could put up with it, but thank you for that.
But it will. But you know, it gets easier, because as you continue on, you know, the knocks get a little less painful. You know, you just start looking at it going like, oh, okay, these people are messing with me. Just like James, you know, he has been knocked down, hit, you know, he has been beat up. But he still keeps going. And the reason he keeps going is because he needs to get his messages out there. He needs to be the beacon of light for people. And it's the same thing for you. And that's why you two are working together and making things happen. But James is a great example of someone who continues to move forward. And although, yeah, it's been taxing on him, he has a purpose here, and so do you, and so do I, and so does everyone else here who are coming with the light. And so it's very important to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and it does get easier. It's almost like from 0 to 50 is a bit slow, but from 50 to 100, and as you go up speed, it gets quicker and easier. And it's like the clearings I've noticed. A few years ago, it was a lot of energy to do the clearing, and, you know, every now and then you'll have to do a hardcore, you know, there's a hardcore sort of clearing session you've got to do, because the stuff's just getting you. But the more you do it and the more you move on, it gets so easy and so quick to clear, that it's because you're going with progress that things happen a lot faster and a lot easier. So I've just got to keep pushing along, don't we?
Yes, and that's all we can do. You know, if we sit down in our path, we create no change. And that's not where we need to be. It's not who we are, actually. I mean, I don't think any of us could just sit down in our path, you know. We'd sit there for 2 seconds and go, yeah, no, I'm getting up, you know, and start brushing yourself off. Another thing that I'm getting is, have you had, and this is personal, and you don't, because we are on a radio show, you don't have to answer, but have you had issues with your family and what you're doing?
There was a bit in the past. it got to the point where there was an ultimatum of either you accept me, because I've got to admit, I speak my mind. I've even been public about the child abuse from my grandparent, like my grandpa, which was sexual abuse and that. So I've been very open. So there's nothing, no skeletons in my closet, especially
Okay.
about my past. I did like 14 rap albums and stuff like that. But there has been, I think, maybe more now external, but I don't see anyone unless it's close immediate family. And it was sort of like, look, this is what I'm going through, and I'm not pushing my crap on you, preaching. So either accept this and just let me go on my path, and we can still be all fun and chummy, or just I don't need it. So to some people that might be heartless, but it's like, why hang around people if they bring you down? So I'm pretty
Exactly.
lucky now that my parents and their partners and my brother are supportive now. But there has been some stuff, and there probably is outside of that as well, but I'm just not aware of it. And there's probably psychic attacks on that level that they're not even aware of.
Yeah. Well, the reason that they brought it up was to show the point. Even the people that are closest to you, that you love the most, may not believe in you, but it doesn't matter. You still need to move forward. So it was just a point. It wasn't about that there's something holding you there, but they're saying it doesn't matter. Whoever it may be, it doesn't matter. You need to move what you're supposed to do here. They also say that, make sure that you always maintain your light, though. Keep your light nice and bright, because the more light you project, the more light that you can affect people with.
Well,
So.
that's good. I'm doing something right.
Yes. Now you did say that you had stepchildren, and if I get too personal, please just, back me up. But you said you had stepchildren. Do you have a stepson? A boy? Is there one between in the ages between 6 and 9? Is there one in that age? Okay. Is he pretty gifted? Because I'm feeling the energy of extremely gifted. I'm feeling old soul. Please continue to encourage him because he's here for some big things. His energy is here to shift some big things, and he needs to be encouraged that to stay in the light and encouraged that, what he is doing and what he feels is valid. And if you do that for him, he will shift a huge amount of the population.
Awesome.
So really big path for him.
So I'll be happy
But
with
with it,
that. It sort of confirms
yes.
everything she says too, because she does the same work as yourself, and yeah, that's very confirming.
I can't wait to meet you guys in person, and I know we're both going to present at James's Ranch, and I'm just so excited to do that with you guys.
It'll be good. We were there, like, we left just before the big conference last year. And it's the first time either one of us had been out of Australia, but we loved America. God, you might not see so much good stuff with maybe, the government or how US is portrayed, but when you get there, the American people are such, I don't know, like they'll do anything for you. People coming up, checking out your maps, where do you want to go? What do you got to do? It's like James has come here and he's surprised how similar Australia, like the people are to the American people. So I can't wait just to get back to America,
Yes.
but that Washington state's beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful there. I have never been to his ranch yet, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Oh, you'll have a ball. You'll have a ball.
And like I say, Australia is on my bucket list, so maybe we can arrange some sort of conference or something, and we can all, show these people how much light we really can project.
That would be awesome because we're looking at doing more stuff down here as well as an offshoot of what's going over in America as well. So maybe we could sort something out like that. But we'll wrap it up soon. We've got about 5 minutes or so. But do you want to tell people what some of the services or things they can find at the website that you do? Like you're saying, you're a spiritual counselor. What's some of the other things you do with all that?
Well, I do. I'm part of a medical energy healing team with Jerry Yusko. So we do work with people with severe or ailments. And also, I teach classes. So I certify people in theta healing, both beginning and advanced. I do a lot of classes: soulmates, manifesting, mediumship, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I do the life path coaching. So if somebody feels lost and they just want to know where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing, I coach people in how to find their life again and how to take back their power. And a lot of people who are in the awakening process will come to me and I can guide them through the process as well. And, you know, all kinds of theta healing. I do lots of theta healing. I think that's the biggest thing, is to move people past their energy so that they can really become who they are. I also do past life readings, so I can figure out who people are in the past lives. But I can also look at somebody's spirit and tell you who you are spiritually. And that's something that a lot of people need to know now, especially with the awakening process.
Well, it seems to be a recurring message. And it's funny, I talk to people that are experiencers, that are in tune, and then you hear about people that have had DMT or ayahuasca experiences, and the same message comes through a lot of the time, which is remember who you are.
Yes.
No matter what. And this is something that I've found recurring throughout all different types of ways that people have their experiences. Is that something you found as well?
Well, when you know who you are, it gives you power. Right. And it's not about ego. It's about when you know who you are no longer bullied by the bullies in the yard, because you are on equal playing field. There's so many people that are worried about the bad aliens and all of this stuff. But when you really know who you are, you're no longer below them. You're on the same playing field, and owning your energy reduces fear. You know, because how can you be fearful if you know that you are this big, huge, bright light on the other side? That all of this is a game. You know, it doesn't really matter except for that we're learning. And so that to me is huge. I always tell people, know who you are.
Yeah.
Own it.
And yeah, embrace it as well. You know, don't sort of be half-assed about it, but you've just got to own it and be it. And once you start embracing who you are, you'll find that when you start to walk your walk and do what you do, you don't even know what you're doing. It just you're on autopilot, but you see that everything prosperous happens.
Yes. Well, yeah, everything starts to flow. All the doors start to open because you are finally in your power. And that's what everybody needs, is to take back their power and to start giving to other people.
Awesome. Well, we'll wrap it up on that note. And of course, where people are downloading the audio or where they're watching the YouTube video, there's a link below that they can go straight to your website and find out more. But thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I can't wait to see you guys in July.
Yeah, we'll see you then. And we'll wrap it up there. Thank you.
Yes. Love and light to you guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.